I speak to you in the name of the God who is with us. Amen. Amen. First, there was Joseph number one. He was the 11th of 12 sons in a big family of nomadic Bedouins. His father clearly favored him over his older brothers and showered gifts and attention on him. In fact, his father loved Joseph more than any other of his children because he was the son of his old age. When Joseph was a dippy teenager, like 17, and full of himself, he used to dream a lot, which was okay until he told his brothers about the dream. His dream went like this. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright. Then your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brothers hated him even more because of his dreams. Well, family systems being what they are, it wasn't long before the brothers decided to get rid of the dreamer. They tossed him down a deep well, hoping he would die and disappear from their lives, and his dreams with him. Against the caution of Reuben or Judah, one of the older brothers, the rest of the brothers sold Joseph to a caravan traveling to Egypt. Reuben was horrified but helpless. So all the brothers took Joseph's fancy coat, dipped it in the blood of a goat, and took it back to their father, Joseph's protector, and said to the father, "This we have found. Is it your son's?" And Jacob tore his garment and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned his son for many days. And life went on in the now barren land of Canaan. However, far away, unknown to his family, Joseph's life was taking a peculiar twist. In short sequence, he was made a servant in the house of the captain of the guard. He was charged with seducing the captain's wife. He wound up in prison, where he became known for interpreting the dreams of other prisoners. When the Pharaoh began having troubling dreams, Joseph was brought up from the dungeon and put on the spot. By anticipating the Pharaoh's dreams, Joseph became famous. He became second only to the Pharaoh in power and authority in Egypt. And because of the insight of his dreams and his gift for understanding dreams, Joseph positioned Egypt to survive worldwide famine. The famine reached his brothers and father back in Canaan. They heard that food was available in Egypt, and they went, knowing nothing of their brother's rise to power. One day they found themselves face to face with the teenage dreamer, now a man, and holding life and death in his hands. He had changed and they did not recognize him, but he knew them at once. He toyed with them, no doubt furious at their earlier brutality. Until Joseph could stand it no more, and he said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" And in a moment so much like the reconciliation of Joseph's father Jacob with his brother Esau, the 12 sons of Israel were united and reconciled and forgiven and saved from starvation. By going down into Egypt, Joseph number one saved his people. Then one day along came Joseph number two. We don't know so much about him. It was said that he descended from Abraham. It was said that he was a righteous man. It was rumored that he was a carpenter. It was said that he was engaged to a young woman named Mary. And it was known that he was a dreamer like his famous ancestor. Unlike Joseph number one, nobody sought out Joseph number two to interpret their dreams. He had enough trouble with his own dreams. They came out of nowhere, and they brought troubling news. In the first dream Joseph had, he saw a messenger of God who told him to take Mary as his wife, even though she was pregnant without Joseph's assistance. Then Joseph's dream mind was still until the child was born, upsetting the world and causing Herod to kill the children. This time the dream told Joseph to go down to Egypt. So once again the family of Joseph left the land of God's promise and went to Egypt to be saved from harm. Eventually Herod died, and the dream came back to Joseph, telling Joseph that it was now safe to go home to Nazareth. You don't suppose, do you, that when Christian believers wanted to tell their story, they reached back into their long memory and borrowed the story of Joseph number one? Is it possible that the ancient dreamer, Joseph number one, opened the mind of God to a new generation who wondered again at the fragility of God's promise? When Joseph number one faced his brothers in the cruel halls of Egypt, surrounded by linen and cotton, hieroglyphics and lotus blossoms, he reassured them, "Do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life." The unlikely story that began with Abraham's foolhardy journey away from home, through Jacob's deceit and restlessness, corrupted by the family passions of Joseph and his brothers, this story had been the story of grace and favor at every turn. What a desperate confession of faith it was for each new generation to believe that God would bring fulfillment out of waste. God will bring fulfillment out of waste. God will bring good out of harm. Yet it kept happening. And now Joseph number two became the bearer of the dreams and the witness to God's promise. An unplanned pregnancy before marriage was a scandal and an ungodly disruption. Imagine our attitude about a conception following rape, and you have some idea of the despair in the hearts of Mary and Joseph and their families. Yeah, here came those pesky dreams again to a man named Joseph, once again, after many centuries. And another Joseph, in a new time, found himself believing that God meant good, but others saw only harm. So Joseph listened to his dreams, and he acted on them. And when the child was born, Joseph greeted him as the full promise of God, the assurance that God is with us, Emmanuel. And when the child was threatened, Joseph took the child to a safe place. Once again, God found refuge in Egypt, along the river where Moses was saved in another time when children were being killed. The dreams kept coming, and Joseph kept his arms around the child and the child's mother and sheltered them and brought them safely back to Nazareth when the danger had passed. In a season devoted to women, warm and fleshy with the violence and the tenderness of birth, we pause ever so briefly today to give thanks for a man named Joseph the Dreamer. Like his great ancestor, Joseph of Nazareth allowed himself to be used by God to bring salvation to the world. I suppose the question that hangs in the air today is, where is Joseph number three, or number four, or number five? Where is the next man who will listen to his dreams and not dismiss them as fantasies or ignore them as repressed anxieties? Which one of you will recognize the moment when God brings good from harm? And why did we stop trusting our dreams? When the brothers of Joseph number one saw him coming toward them, they said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." Well, his dreams turned out to save their lives. I wonder what will become of the dreams we have. And I wonder whether God will entrust us with the dream of life and hope. Amen.